And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So I'm nowhere near the age, definitely do not have enough wisdom under my belt to be talking about sage advice, sage wisdom, but I definitely seem to have enough to be answering a handful of questions by friends and family alike in terms of understanding where to go within a career, or at least how to choose and start a career between two people at least. Starting off with one person who's in a situation where they're not necessarily bored with their job. They're in a situation where they kind of want more money. They want more freedom with their life. They want the ability to do more things. But they're strapped down. They don't have a mortgage payment, but they've got a car loan and they've got credit card bills. Regular old run-of-the-mill life kind of things. And in an attempt to figure out a cheaper living situation on life, they had to run through a couple of options, but it would require kind of restarting a career being the biggest situation, not being able to transfer their job in a situational move. And so figuring out how to weigh that generation of that time frame that you've installed within a job, that effort that you've put forth to then take it and more or less throw it all away, or so it would seem. How do you deal with that? How do you build upon that? Or you could be like in the other person's situation, a coworker. The office is changing locations and the new distance has put it out of a feasible, economical, sensible range for my coworker. The time and money spent commuting to work doesn't necessarily get negated within the workday, but it's a loss of money. There's a much smaller return on his investment of time and energy. Especially with gas prices at the way they are. Maybe he should just invest in an electric vehicle. Don't have to worry about those gas prices, right? That's not the conversation. Quit veering around. But this individual, the one in the tougher of the two situations, again with this relocation of the office, he doesn't have a work history, unlike the other individual in our story, our conversation today. He has a handful of jobs, and by a handful, I mean two or three. He's just starting out in life, just starting out getting things rolling. Kind of reminds me of me, where at that age, what do you do with your life? I have no idea. I didn't want to be a police officer, didn't want to be a space fireman or anything like that. Had no direction, had no college anticipation. Neither does it this individual, and I don't blame him, especially with the way college seems to cost an exorbitant amount of money and give you what seems to be diminishing returns. And he's also in a tougher situation where he definitely has to find a way to make ends meet, help out with the budget of life, and kind of reduces his options. And we can come around to the argument that minimum wage is not a living wage. No, it is not. Minimum wage means minimum effort implied and involved in the effort that is given to the job. I don't feel like paying someone $37.12 an hour to mop my floors. Unless in the process of mopping the floors, they get out a toothbrush, and they clean out every little crack between each little tile and make sure the grout is perfectly spotless. But I don't see a better return on investment. I don't think the people who walk across my floors will notice such pristine cleanliness within the tile. And no one, again, is going to pay that kind of money for someone to clean their floors. They'll pay $15 an hour. I think here in Tennessee, it's still $7.25. I guess I could do a little bit of fact-checking on that before I start spouting misinformation. And yes, $7.25. Nothingness. Pennies. Compared to the $15 an hour in Washington State, But for the cost of living between the two, I think $725 is a better deal in Tennessee than $15 is in Seattle. At least Seattle proper. You start getting to the extremities of Washington State, and you might be able to make something happen, but can the business afford that? And so we've had conversations back and forth, again, seeing that somehow I have been elevated to the status. I guess it comes with age and at least working a handful of jobs that gives me the perspective on life that he is unable to view from just yet. Still has a path to walk. But trying to figure out what is worth it. He has aspirations to make decent money. He's not trying to become the CEO. He's not trying to make more than $500,000 a year. Although that would be nice. It's not what he finds important. He finds, again, a living wage, that point to be able to support yourself and support a family, to be an important number. But what do you do when you lack certain skills? You go into things like the trades. You become a plumber, an electrician, construction worker. Maybe you figure out how to lay asphalt. Is that a good paying job? I understand that underwater welding offers a decent return on investment. Mechanics are going by the wayside for automobiles. Now you got to become a programmer to learn anything about cars. But he's also being picky. Now, I had in my previous life, a rather rough and tumble job that paid the bills. Definitely paid the bills, but it did not give me a life. But that was a sacrifice. When I do have to say, when I first started that job, an outside life was at least possible. You had to work a little bit harder, sweat a little bit more to make it happen, but it was possible. And through the shift and change of how the economy and purchasing aspects of society went, became just a little bit more difficult. But it's not to say you can't have and support a family with that job. And so giving up time for that little bit of effort, for that guarantee money in the bank, and again, lots and lots of extra sweat. It was not an easy job. Wasn't digging trenches, but not an easy job. It paid the bills. Got me to where I am today. Would have gotten me a lot further had I stayed there, but personal choices told me to go and chase other dreams. And so this is, I guess, where I compare with individual number one, who has 9 years at their company, 9 years of incremental raises, and almost or maybe just above minimum living wage. They're not rolling in dough, but they're making enough to live on their own. Not living an extremely lavish lifestyle. They're surviving. They've put their time in. They've put the effort in. And individual number one has also recently acquired a handful of extra free time within their life and asking me about how to best utilize their time and energy at work. And they let slip that they had the available for overtime, 3 hours or 4 hours, depending on how they wanted to shift their days and their weeks around. And my answer was, well, if you don't have a social life, start working your overtime. Now, again, I come off as brash, emotionless, rough around the edges when I start talking about what you need to do when you want to get ahead in life. But I find it to be the truth. Telling the younger individual, number two, that they might be able to go out and find a decent job that might make them somewhere around $30,000 or $40,000 a year at full-time wage, full-time hours, and be kind of crappy. It'd suck. Bottom of the barrel, bottom of the ladder rung. But if you want to get out of that, if you want to exceed that mere $40,000 at the bottom of the ladder, you have to put in your hours. You have to struggle. You have to work the overtime. And not every job, like individual number one, I'm losing track now. The 9-year individual at their company has the possibility for overtime. Whereas at no seniority, good luck getting overtime. Or maybe you get all of the overtime. Squirrel that money away. Save it up. Not just for a rainy day, but for that chance to get a college education, which is one of the things that I point the younger individual towards. Even getting something as simple as a business marketing degree or business management degree. Some little BS degree. Something that says, I can be trained. I know how to learn. I know how to commit to something. and I didn't know how to apply myself. Now, if he and I were to apply to the same job and he at least had an AA, what's the two-year degree or lowest degree, college degree, if he had that and me with my high school diploma, he'd have a better shot at the job. Or even if we have equal shots at the job, he might actually get $1 an hour higher entry wage than I might, because I'm merely just high school educated. But again, you're still stuck at that $40,000 a year. I'm not going to get you a house, barely be able to make rent your own apartment, live your life, go on a vacation. Ha! You got to work harder. And the idea of getting a second job is terrifying. It's terrible. No one wants to work two jobs. I've worked two jobs. Not fun. You never get a day off. You work extra long days, but you're able to squirrel away that extra money if you don't have the option for overtime. And even if you do have the option for overtime and it expires, figure out that extra way to make extra money. The older of the two individuals does dog sitting on the side. Makes a couple extra $100 a month. Not rolling in dough, but there's more money there than there was beforehand. And so they keep working at it, keep chiseling away, and they'll be able to pay off their car and clear out their credit cards, and options will become available to them. They get to keep their vacation, staying at that job for so long, and there becomes rewards for the effort put forth. But going back to the younger individual who doesn't want to deal with the lower rungs, doesn't want to put his nose to the grindstone, understandably, it's hard work. And he's a hard worker. It's just, why go to the bottom of the barrel? Why get stuck there? Why have to deal with the muck and the crap? Because all that muck and crap, as you keep stomping around in it, all that muddiness, you squish all the water out, you end up with a firm surface underneath you. You start building your way up. You become a reliable source of engineering or material witness or whatever the fancy words are, even if you don't have a fancy college degree. You become marketable. You become a reason that someone wants to employ you. And you, as long as you take skills from one job to the next, you can improvise, adapt, and overcome, and exceed expectations. Now, construction is not my main gig, but my skills at construction definitely came in handy over this past month, and they'll come in handy again. A marketable skill, something that I learned on my own off time. Nothing in regards to what I did for my previous employment, merely just that extra effort that I put in. My neighbor is looking at me, trying to get me to change the oil on their car. Seems like an easy enough gig. Can't screw up anything on that, and it's a couple extra bucks every couple months. Now, if we want to change a transmission, that's a different story. There's liabilities and stuff like that. But a marketable skill, a reason that people want to employ you, showing that you're willing to show up on time. And I guess that's probably the biggest lesson I wish I could get across to this younger individual. The older one seems to understand it, whether or not they want to apply it. It's up to them. It's up to anybody who wants to choose to apply it. But you should show up early. You should be always early to arrive. I understand circumstances don't always allow us to do so, but aim to be there early. And if you can, be the last to leave. And if that's not even the option, don't be the last to leave, but make an effort. Show them that you care, that you want this job, that you want to succeed, that you have no intention of being down here amongst us plebs, amongst us lower-class blue-collar workers. Show that you want to rise above the muck. Show that you're willing to put in that extra effort. And if the extra effort won't come in for you at the one job, again, find that second job. It might be dog-sitting. It might be working the night shift at the gas station. Talk to plenty of night shift gas station people. They're there because, number one, they need to make ends meet, or number two, they're taking classes, and there's minimal people walking through. Yeah, you got to run the register and clean the pumps and whatnot, but you get a chance to study your books, dig yourself out of that hole. You have to be hungry. You have to want to succeed. You have to want to not be stuck where you're at. And if you just kind of let bygones be bygones and let it kind of all roll off your back, there's only so far that you're going to be able to go. And I know times are tough nowadays. and the man is always out to get us. Trust me, I know that just like everybody else. But we have to put in that time. We have to put in that effort. We have to have that drive to make sure that we're not going to leave ourselves behind. We're not going to leave the people that rely on us behind. And maybe, just maybe, we don't have to put in that 60-hour work week for the rest of our life. Maybe we can convince a job to hang on to us long enough so that way we do get recognized. And when it is time to vacate the premises, to switch up jobs, we can look, or at least our new employer can look at how much time and dedication we put towards the one job. 9 years for the one individual. Ain't nothing to say, shake a stick at. And it doesn't mean you're going to get the same number of vacation or the same benefits at your new job. But you have standing. You have record. You have consistency. You have a resume to show for it. Poor younger kid with no resume. And you can change your circumstances. You can hate your boss and move along. Where your old boss can appreciate you, but understand that your time in life has shifted. There's a different calling. Or you need to change up. You're done looking at the ocean. You need to go see the mountains or vice versa. Or you're done looking at a computer screen and you need to go look at the ocean. Become an oceanographer, if that's even possible. But if you put in your hours, put in that little bit of extra work, there's a lot more possible than if we only scrape by and do just the bare minimum. Got to be hungry. Got to seek it out. Got to search for it all. And we will definitely find it within the greater sphere of what we're willing to look around in. And I'm Billy Bones. BILLYBON, the number 3S. Offering just a handful of ideas, something to get us thinking. Maybe we have some little bit of ideas, some information we might be able to tell other people that are searching for something. Maybe we can dig a little bit deeper and find that bonus time, find that bonus effort, turn our hobbies into something that might make us some money. But again, I'm Billy Bones. Find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. Find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at BillyBones, at NoAgendaSocial.com. I've got a website as well, BillyBones.com. Remember that it's spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you can find links to show notes, none today, links to past episodes, links to email, a link to Tabletop Woodworks. Got some new guitar hooks available. Trying to change that hobby into a profession. See how that's going. And this is a value for value podcast, as seen on the website. I release this show free of charge, no advertising, no paywall, no corporate sponsorship telling me what I can or cannot say, in hopes that you find value out of it. And if you did, fantastic, thank you, I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, an idea to get the gears turning, or maybe they just kind of slug it off, and so be it. That's how it goes, you can't please everybody. But if you did find value and you want to support the show, again, you go to BillyBones.com, you click the Value for Value button, it'll take you to PayPal. You chip in, you donate, you support the show in a number that you feel is appropriate. Like today's executive producer, Lady Get Over It, coming in with her $10 monthly donation. Thank you very much for your continued support on this show. Thank you for helping me pay these bills. I also have Podcasting 2.0 Compliancy. Compliancy. So sophisticated and efficient. But I accept Satoshis. Teeny, tiny bits of Bitcoin, little pennies in the jar. None of those coming in today, but if you've got one of those new podcast apps, a Podcasting 2.0 compliant app, that'll be in today's show notes, podcastapps.com. Go there, you find a podcast app that'll do chapters and images with the change of chapters, live notifications on certain other podcasts. I'm not fully compliant with the 2.0. I'd like to be. I need to add in some more time into my hours. There's not enough days in the hours, however it rolls out. But I'd like to thank you again for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.